Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max, which is a, well, old smartphone at this point, but we've just reviewed it because this one was launched before the lockdown began in India. And before we could get review units, before the smartphone could go on sale, a lockdown was announced and the launch, the actual launch of this one was delayed by a couple of months. We finally got the review units somehow. I think deliveries have resumed for certain items and we were able to do a review of this product. And because of that, we can talk about this smartphone. And in many places, the lockdown has been relaxed a bit. So you should be able to buy this phone as well in case you're interested. So anyway, Orbital Podcast is back to its heart, which is talking about technology. In between, I think we did a few episodes where we were like, okay, how to survive the lockdown and whatnot. But now we are back once again to talking about, you know, things that are right at the heart of technology. So to talk about the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max, we have Aritya Shenoy here with us, who's our resident Android expert and in-house auto enthusiast as well.
Hello guys, how are you?
And I'm your host Pranay Parab. So today we'll be talking with Aditya about what's the experience of using the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max in your car, and what kind of mounts to use with the phone, and Google Maps chalta hai kya?
Well, it points to nowhere because I cannot go anywhere. So
yeah, true that. I mean, even if you want to play Pokemon Go or something right now, there's only so much you can do, like walk around your building, and that's about it. Okay, anyway, so chalo, jokes aside, let's get back to the phone itself, a more serious talk from now on. So the first thing that I want to highlight about this smartphone is the pricing. When it was launched first, we had a 14999 starting price, but now post this lockdown, a couple of things have changed. One is that GST rates have gone up, rupee has also fallen a bit, and manufacturing has been hit quite a bit because we've seen, first of all, the lockdown itself impacts that, right? I mean, people are not able to go to work, then manufacturing and all assembling cannot happen properly. Secondly, we also have that problem where some other companies have faced a situation where some workers have tested COVID positive in their factories. I believe Oppo was the one that had that announcement. So, you know, because of that, I think eventually it is going to take, like, show up in the pricing of smartphones, because companies are not able to make more phones and sell more phones, then the margin gets hit, right? So this this year, I don't think it's going to be a great year for great pricing for smartphones in general. But the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max is at 16,499. So 16,499 for the base variant. And there are two other variants of this smartphone, right? I believe you reviewed the middle variant.
So I had the middle variant for this particular review, and the pricing for the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max starts at 16,499, and the mid variant is 17,999, and the top variant is 19,999. So this is how it's spread out now. Honestly, before the lockdown was announced and even before the GST hike, when this smartphone was launched at 14,999, honestly, that price was impressive. But there's no point in talking about that right now because you will have to spend a lot more for this particular device. And it's interesting because, you know, when you take a look at the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max and the Redmi Note 9 Pro side by side, these devices are virtually identical. So a lot of, you know, naturally, a lot of questions will pop up with respect to the device being worth it or not. So that is something I tried to explore when I reviewed it.
Yeah, I mean, I can completely understand where those questions are coming from, because it almost feels like a bait and switch, right? Where you first see a 14999 price, you get excited, you want to buy the phone, and then suddenly it's at 16,500, which is, I mean, it seems like a small difference, but if you look at the original price of the phone, it's a 10% straight up hike, right? Even before the phone was made available for sale. So for a lot of people, there has been some disappointment. We've seen that in the comments we've got on the website and on our YouTube channel. Many people have come and said that, okay, no, the pricing is too much, and like, I'd rather go for the Realme 6 Pro or some other comments like that. But we should also understand that these are things that are not exactly in Xiaomi's control. I mean, the rupee is also falling, right? So, I mean, while, sure, these phones are made in India, many of the components do come from abroad, right? It's not like every single component is manufactured in India.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the multiple factors for the price going up as well. And when you look at these other factors as well, wherein the launch happened, but the sales couldn't go through because of the lockdown. Of course, for them also, it's a loss there. And had this been on sale right before the GST hike, and again, a GST hike is something that is not in Xiaomi's control, and it has, and it's not Xiaomi alone that has been impacted by it. We've seen multiple other smartphone manufacturers also bumping the price up because, and when you look at what Xiaomi has been doing for a really long time is that they have very, very thin margins to begin with. And over a period of time, they rely on the, you know, the component cost going down, which helps them recover some money. So that is clearly not happening at the moment because of which the prices are on the higher side. But if you even look at the closest competition, which is like the Poco X2 and even the Realme 6 Pro, they're roughly in the same price range. So it's not Xiaomi alone that is pricing, you know, that is now demanding more money for its product. It's happened you know, across the board. And we've especially seen it in the sub 20,000 rupee segment, where it's making a huge it's making a huge difference there.
Yeah, so I think that we'll just have to get used to a new normal right now. Is that this is the kind of performance you can expect in the 15 to 20,000 price bracket versus what we had earlier. We had a few, like I think last year was a really good year for the sub 20,000 price segment, and that continued to this year also with the Poco X2 coming in terms of like what you get from a smartphone.
Absolutely.
At that price. But now we'll have to revise some of those estimates because some of these smartphones that would have gone in the sub 15,000 category are now in the higher one. So
yeah,
it'll be a little bit of a shift for maybe a few months, and after that, hopefully things should settle down.
Yes, and you know, the main one other reason for the pricing to be very, I would say, volatile in this particular segment is also because a lot of manufacturers are experimenting with this price range because you now have higher refresh rates at this particular price point. Earlier, you had in-display fingerprint scanners with AMOLED panels as well. Then you have side-mounted fingerprint scanner that, again, a few manufacturers are experimenting. So clearly, that has caused the, you know, per unit price to go up because they're not sharing a lot of these components with other devices. And that could be one of the reasons why they couldn't absorb the impact of the GST hike. So, you know, they simply had to pass it on to the consumer.
Yeah, true that. I mean, in the previous episode, we interviewed Vivo's director of brand strategy, Nipun Maria. Mm-hmm. And some of the questions we asked him were around on these lines only. First of all, like, you know, online versus offline was a big topic. I liked his answer on that. Like, he said that some people will just not look beyond the processor. So many smartphones that are targeted at online only or online exclusive markets, or maybe some smartphones that are not easily available offline initially, at least. So those phones, many companies, what they're doing is they're putting all their resources in the processor. So just give a good processor, like let's say, I mean, something like a Snapdragon 730G is available in that segment. And he claimed that, you know, they don't put in that many, they don't invest that much in providing a good camera experience at that price point because the phone is online exclusive and they know that many people will not even look at anything beyond the processor before buying the smartphone.
Yes.
So,
yes. You know, that's an interesting point he's made there, and because I think even Vivo's U series has been doing it. You know, interestingly, when I would, you know, if I talk about Redmi or even Realme for that matter, of course, the processors are very, very good, but they have paid attention to the camera as well. Of course, the camera is not completely useless like on some other smartphones in this price range, but it is actually useful. And it's an interesting point here as well, cameras especially, because that it's one of the main reasons or, you know, the main factors that distinguishes the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max from the Redmi Note 9 Pro.
Yeah, so why don't we talk about that now? I believe there's a 64 megapixel sensor on this one, right?
Yes.
So what can we expect?
Okay, so both the Redmi Note 9 Pro and the Pro Max, both of them have quad camera setups. And the main distinguishing factor is the primary sensor. On the Note 9 Pro, you have a 48 megapixel sensor. On the Note 9 Pro Max, you have a 64 megapixel sensor. And the other changes for the selfie. So here you get a 32 megapixel selfie shooter as well. So that's another advantage there. So in terms of the primary camera, of course, because you get a 64 megapixel primary camera, when it, so both phones do 4:1 pixel binning. So the resultant image is a 16 megapixel here compared to you getting a 12 megapixel output there. So you do get better details. And in case you want to click a photo at full resolution, you can do that. You get a 64 megapixel shot. Of course, I would say that the pixel bin shot is a lot better in terms of details, color accuracy, and even AI detection, wherein it can detect easily. Whereas when you're shooting at full resolution, the AI does not kick in. And also in terms of size, you have a, I've seen a 30 MB size for one photo versus a 5 MB size for a binned image.
Wait, say that again. 30 MB for one picture.
For one photo, yeah. Man. 64 megapixel.
I'm pretty sure some DSLRs are like, you know, better at raw images than this one.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's quite a lot of difference there as well. And so for those reasons, if you are looking at capturing photos wherein you would want to zoom in at a later point, a higher resolution is always useful. And in this case, the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max helps it. Of course, when I first started reviewing it, I wasn't convinced that, you know, only a better higher resolution camera would be a good distinguishing factor between the two smartphones. They've also put in a 33 watt faster charger for this particular device. And these are the only two or rather three things, you know, the cameras and the faster charging that distinguish these two smartphones. So interesting, you know, question I had when I started reviewing it. But after reviewing it and when you look at the pricing as well, the Note 9 Pro Max honestly looks like a very good value for money smartphone in spite of, you know, the price hike. It's honestly a very good value for money device at the point, at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, after reviewing it, we are definitely qualified to say that it's good value for money. I just don't like this culture online of multiple people just coming into the comment section and saying, no, this is overpriced and this and that. I mean, look, first of all, you are just looking at some specifications on paper. Like, you know, I can give you the same specs. I can say that I'm making a phone with the same specifications at X price. And, you know, you'll probably think, oh, it's a great phone or whatever. But before using it, you really can't tell how good it is or how bad it is. Like without...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, even when you look at the cameras, like with respect to this being a 64 megapixel primary sensor, we know flagships that have only 12 megapixel cameras, but we know that the output is going to be better, right? So specs alone do not dictate how a smartphone is going to be like. And I would recommend people avoid doing that. You know, gauging a smartphone purely based on specifications. That's where we come in. After using the devices, we are in a better position to say if it's worth buying this product at the said price.
Yeah, true that. And another thing to highlight here is that, and before we complete the topic of the, you know, cameras completely, we've seen some, basically, see, about this smartphone, right? The one thing that I'm going to call Xiaomi out on is the software, always. Yeah. Like, even on the most expensive smartphone that they've launched, which is the Mi 10. So the review of that phone went up on gadgets360.com just today, 22nd May. So if you check the review, you will realize that the software experience is still far from ideal. Like a phone that costs 50,000 rupees. Imagine 50,000 rupees, a Xiaomi phone, their first premium phone in a very long time in India. And on that phone, you have some apps preloaded, such as that Get Apps thing, which is there on across their phones, which, you know, you like, even if you don't open the app, like there are a couple of notifications you get. You open the app once and that's it. You are done. Basically, it'll start spamming you left, right, center. So if this is their definition of no spam, no promotional content or whatever, then I don't agree with that. And in budget smartphones, it is unbearable the amount of spam you get, like from all kinds of apps. So how was your experience on this one?
Well, the moment you started talking about the software, I picked up the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max in my hand, and there it is, a Get Apps notification for the hottest game alert. You know, completely unrequired. Like, I don't need it. And even when you open the app, it is going to bombard you with suggestions to download apps and stuff. Even while you're setting it up, it's going to recommend that you install apps like TikTok, Hello, multiple of them. A few also come pre-installed. I've found Awesome Rummy to come pre-installed on this device. Not a big fan, not going to use it. So, you know, that is something I'm not very fond of. Also, this app called Hello comes pre-installed, and multiple times we've mentioned that this app does push notifications. Even if you click on it even once, that's enough for it to keep spamming you with notifications. You get pretty much one or two every other day. So that is something that is not required. And if you are going to be buying a Xiaomi smartphone, please go ahead and install the Hello app if you're not going to be using it. And it's not only pre-installed apps, okay? I've got a notification from the Themes app. Like, why does the Themes app need to push me a notification? You know, that is something I don't want. And if this is something that's happening with the Mi 10 as well, boy, I'm going to think before spending 50,000 rupees on that phone, because people who are spending that kind of money pay for a good experience on the device. They pay for good hardware and experience. And if one of the two is missing, then, you know, it kind of results in the device not being very, very successful. And I hope Xiaomi fixes that very quickly, because, you know, for a 50,000 rupee phone, yeah, spam, no, that's a no-no.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're charging 50,000 for a phone, you might as well charge 52,000 and not give any spam whatsoever, right? It's at that price point, a couple of thousand here or there does not really make a difference to the person who's buying this device. But that spam will definitely affect, you know, the overall experience. And if you're going to be saying premium experience, premium phone and premium this and premium that, well, spam is not premium. Definitely something to keep in mind going forward.
Yeah.
Now, on this subject, I just had a question for you quickly. I don't remember exactly how it works now on MIUI specifically, but when you open apps, does it ask you for permission to like send notifications, or does it like get notification permissions automatically?
So a couple of apps will ask you for permissions, but it's not like iOS, wherein, you know, every new app you install, you, it does not ask you for permission. It's pretty much enabled by default. So that is something you'll need to, you know, check. And if an app is spammy, you'll have to pretty much get rid of it.
Yeah, hopefully in future versions of Android, that thing is enabled as a mandatory thing where, you know, you launch an app and permission for sending notifications is also asked first. It's a different matter that even on iOS, most people open apps and then they say, okay, okay, okay to everything that they see, which is basically location permission and this one, notification permission.
The notification. Yeah.
So these two are the main ones. And there are a couple of others also, like microphone, video and other things, which people just say, okay, okay. And they move on. And suddenly there is an app which is like 24/7 spying on where you are, what you're doing and listening to you and all that. But in most cases, I mean, at least having a choice is better than not having one. And hopefully this is implemented, you know, in the future. So we'll get to avoid this problem. Anyway, so coming back to the original topic before we got sidetracked a little. So the cameras, I don't think we finished talking about all of them. So we have the video performance spending and I think even the selfie experience.
Absolutely. So with respect to the quad camera setup, I would say I've already covered the primary camera. Now, the other cameras are the 8 megapixel ultra wide angle camera, a 5 megapixel macro and a 2 megapixel depth sensor. So first, the 2 megapixel depth sensor is mainly used for portraits. And I have noticed that it manages very, very good edge detection. It can blur out the background very easily, but it doesn't. It's not very accurate. So if you have a person standing in front of you, the gap between the arm and the body while you're standing, that it misses out on. Now, we've seen this issue earlier, but recently smartphones have you know, found a fix to it. Like, we rarely saw it nowadays. This device does it. And it's an easy software fix for the AI to start recognizing that and blurring that as well. The 5 megapixel macro camera is mainly used for macro shots. And I honestly don't see myself using the macro camera very often. What it does is it lets you get very, very close to a particular subject. And since and in this case, you can go as close as 2 centimeters. But here you have to ensure that you have adequate light falling on whatever you're clicking as well. Because if you're going to be 2 centimeters close to a subject trying to click a photo with a phone that is this big, chances are that, you know, it's going to have a lot of shadow. It's going to be dark. So that way, it is useful, but I don't see myself using it for a really long time. I probably forget where the macro camera is. And Xiaomi has also not made it very easy to find the macro camera toggle in the camera app. It's in a sub menu, and I would have expected it to be, you know, right there on the screen where you can switch between multiple cameras. Now, the 8 megapixel wide angle camera has got a wider field of view. It does let you capture, you know, a wider frame easily. But of course, being an 8 megapixel camera, there is a loss in detail compared to the primary camera. And in low light, especially, there's AI does not kick in. So you don't really get a very good image there.
So see, the one thing that stood out in all that you said here is that many companies give you this quad camera setup and two of those cameras are completely useless, right? So in this case, we can probably say with some certainty that only that final fourth camera, which is I think the depth sensor, right? That's the one that is probably like just there for namesake. I'm not sure how much like how much you need that. You could probably use a better wide angle sensor and, you know, get the same kind of experience.
Yes, I think it's the macro camera. So, you know, the ultra wide angle camera can be used as a macro camera. We've seen it with the OnePlus 7T. And also recently we reviewed the Oppo Reno 3 Pro, which does the exact same thing. So it uses its wide angle camera for macro. And so that way, you know, you can eliminate one sensor purely by opting for a better ultra wide angle camera and software. So that is something that can be done. And the depth sensor, again, I think you can get rid of it or use another sensor to work with the primary sensor for depth. But again, we know that, you know, phones like the Pixel, they don't need a secondary camera for depth. They can do it on its own with a primary sensor and software. So again, you can bring this camera setup down to a two camera setup only with a primary camera and probably an ultra wide angle camera that does macro and software to handle the depth sensors work. So it can be done, but of course at this price point, the quad camera hype is also going on. We know that, you know, smartphone makers right from the 10,000 rupee price point want to have a marketing term that would help them sell their smartphone quickly, and a quad camera setup is the in thing right now. So I don't see manufacturers changing anything right, you know, in with respect to this.
Yeah, the I mean, I 100% agree with you. If you, I mean, just to like go slightly off topic once more, so the Mi 10 is again like really funny on this aspect. On the one hand, you have a 108 megapixel primary camera and you're like, okay, fine, I get this only in the S20 Ultra, which is at 92,000 rupees. And on the other hand, the other sensors are like some 13 megapixel wide angle and there is, I think, a 2 megapixel depth sensor. And I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, what are these other three sensors? You get these in like phones like the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max. Why are you shipping this in a phone that's costing 50,000 rupees? So in some cases it does feel like, you know, in the Mi 10's case it is an extreme case, right? I mean, it on the one hand you have a phone which has a 108 megapixel camera and all the other sensors on paper at least they don't look great, and in terms of performance also they weren't very good. Like we did our review and in the review also we've said that it's nothing extraordinary in terms of performance for anything except the primary camera. That was just like very, very odd to see, but the contrast is not that bad. So yeah, I just got the spec space open for the Mi 10. So there is a 2 megapixel macro lens on that and a 2 megapixel depth sensor and a 13 megapixel ultra wide. So
ultra wide,
basically, see, these two extra cameras are just like there for the sake of making it a quad camera phone. Because a lot of companies, I think, believe that if you don't have that quad camera badge, then you wouldn't be taken, you won't be taken seriously in the market.
Well, even when, you know, when you look at like if you are a buyer and you go ahead comparing the two smartphones on say even Gadget 360, and you'll be like, okay, this one has a triple camera setup, that has a quad camera setup, I'm better off with four cameras than three. You know, if you're not going to be very well informed about, okay, if a camera is going to really make a difference there, but, you know, more number of cameras will be better, right? And we've seen multiple smartphone manufacturers even giving a dual selfie camera setup, which brings the total count to six, like the Vivo V19. I recently reviewed that had like six cameras on it. Why do you need six cameras on a smartphone?
Yeah, that's what. And, you know, at some point we are going to reach a stage where like there is a phone with 10 cameras. And then you are going to really wonder, ki, like, what is there a phone here or is it just like a bunch of cameras pasted on top of Android?
Yeah. So, you know, it's a problem. And even when you have four or even rather six cameras on a device, the problem is every time you start the camera app, you're going to power all these camera modules. And that is also going to account for some battery drain. So that's something to consider as well.
Yeah, true that. So hopefully, I mean, better sense prevails eventually. I think some of this is also driven by the fact that now there's not that much to gain by showing off your CPU alone. Camera is where the current battleground is.
Even battery life, I would say.
Yeah. But you know what? Like with battery life, even if your battery is amazing, it's not as much of a show-off factor in terms of marketing that as compared to camera. Like if you can say that, okay, I'm giving you a 108 megapixel primary camera at half the price of the competitor, then that makes for much better marketing than I'll give you twice the battery as, you know, your competitor or whatever.
Yeah, so, sounds familiar.
Exactly. So, yeah. Moving on a bit, is there anything else you want to say about the camera, by the way?
Okay. So, yes, with respect to camera, I would have to talk about the selfie camera and the video. So, yes. Selfie camera, 32 megapixel selfie camera is what you get. And there's no pixel binning on it. So, you get 32 megapixel shots on that. And it's a very good camera. It also has portrait mode. And again, it uses a single camera itself. And it does a very good job at differentiating the subject and the background. So, that does it very good for your selfies. With respect to video recording, I would say first it has your optical, it has your electronic image stabilization only, and the video recording maxes out at 4K for the rear camera, and I think 1080p for the selfie shooter. And when you're recording, it does try to stabilize the footage, and we've got good results in daylight. Low light is where it tries to do it, but there's a shimmer effect. And it's not very useful, like, you know, it's not going to be very, very useful there. So for those reasons, I would say that you're better off with video recording primarily in the day. Low light video shooting is not all that great with the Note 9 Pro Max.
Okay, so seems like a decent, well-rounded camera package, except for low light performance, particularly in video, to me. And that, you know, 5 megapixel macro is definitely like more useful than having a 2 megapixel macro lens, because the quality of the pictures we've seen with the 2MP macro in many, many smartphones has been way below par. But you know, I've seen some of the camera samples, which you also should see, by the way, on gadgets360.com. The reviews live, yeah. Samples are live. So look at those samples and make your judgment for yourself. We can talk about this all day long, but ultimately you can decide for yourself by going to the site and reading the review whether you want to buy this phone for the camera or not. Now let's quickly look at some of the other things that we haven't yet spoken about the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max. First is the processor. Snapdragon 720G is the same processor as what we've seen on the Redmi Note 9 Pro already. And my only question here is, see, we already have spoken about the performance of this chipset in another smartphone, which is a Note 9 Pro. The episode was a long time ago, but we have spoken about it. My only question here is that between the Note 9 Pro and the Note 9 Pro Max, since the performance is pretty much identical, should people save money and get the Note 9 Pro, which is sub 15,000 rupees? I think 13,999 or so is the starting price right now.
Yes.
So should they get that, or should they get spend more and get this one?
So it all depends on how much you're willing to spend. If you have a very strict budget wherein you don't want to exceed 15,000 rupees, then by all means go for the Redmi Note 9 Pro, because one, the starting price is very, very low, and you still get all the goodies from this particular device. If you can spend for the faster charger as well, because the Redmi Note 9 Pro does not come with a 32-33 watt fast charger bundle like the Note 9 Pro Max does. But if you're willing to spend a little extra, and you're looking at the mid variant of the Redmi Note 9 Pro, which is the 6128 GB version. So that thing is priced at 16,999 rupees. And when you look at the exact same variant of the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max, it is priced at 17,999 rupees. So the difference is exactly 1,000 rupees. And in that 1,000 rupees, if you go for the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max, you're getting one better, higher resolution cameras, front and back. You're also getting faster charging. And for 1,000 rupees, I think it's worth it, because the faster charging alone is worth the 1,000 rupee price bump. So if you are looking at a 16,000-17,000 rupee smartphone, then the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max is going to be the one to go for between the two. The Note 9 Pro is only worth going if you have like that sub 14,000 rupee price point ki aur 15,000 se zyada nahi kharcha karna. So at that price point, Note 9 Pro. Anything higher than that, Note 9 Pro Max, eyes closed.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough. That's, I think, as detailed as an answer can get, and also makes the decision really easy for people. So, base variant is the one where there's a huge price difference, but the middle variant, once you reach that, might as well spend 1,000 extra, save a little bit more, spend that more, a bit more, so that you get some real value add features. Fast charging is something that, okay, fine, in the current lockdown, you may not be traveling all that much, but... whenever like normal life resumes, or if you have to step out and your battery is low, having that 33 watt charger is going to charge your phone really, really quickly versus the 18 watt one you get on the
Absolutely. Pro.
So
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a real value add in my opinion. Now, I think we should also maybe talk about like a little bit about the design and all that. Now, these phones are getting bigger and bulkier with each passing year, in my opinion. And with this one also, like based on what I saw in your review, the phone almost looked like a piece of footwear, but it's not a Xiaomi problem. It's like a smartphone industry problem. So how bad is it? Is it like unwieldy? Is it like easy to handle because of even weight distribution, or how is it?
Okay, so first of all, the device is big, definitely big. It's a 6.67 inch display, and it's tall as well because it has that 20:9 aspect ratio, 19.5:9. Some people are very particular about that. So it's a tall aspect ratio. So it's not very wide when you're holding it in your hand. So it's comfortable, like it's manageable in the hand. But of course, you cannot reach the top of the display with your thumb. If you're holding it in the same hand, there's no way you can reach the top of the display. You'll have to shuffle it at least once or twice to get to the top of the display. And that, according to me, is a problem. The second thing is that this does not have a rear-mounted fingerprint scanner like most of the Xiaomi devices. This has a side-mounted fingerprint scanner. And the position itself is slightly higher, I would say. It's where you will have to shuffle it a little or hold the phone a little higher just so that you can reach the fingerprint scanner easily. And it's quick, it's fast, but it's not very, very convenient. I would have still preferred a rear-mounted fingerprint scanner because it's just where your finger naturally rests when you're picking up the device. But I think one of the main reasons they did not want to do it is that the back of the device is glass as well. And the less number of cutouts you have in it is better for strength and rigidity. So that was the explanation I was given for the Redmi Note 9, Redmi Note 8 Pro. So I think the same applies for this as well. But design-wise, definitely it's big. So while single-handed use is a problem, it is a boon when you're gaming on the device or when you're watching content, because that big display does give you the advantage. You know, you have more screen estate. You can sit, watch videos around, say. Even while you're gaming, you don't really have to squint to check whatever's going on the display, because it's big enough for you to enjoy it. So that way, that is something I like about the device. So as a primary phone, I would say it will be a little hard to navigate or, hold as well. And again, it has a 5020 milliamp hour battery. So the weight is beyond 200 grams. So it's not, honestly, not very, the most comfortable device to hold, for sure.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I was only concerned about that. See, my problem is that with these bulkier devices, if the weight distribution is not even, one-handed use and all, it at some point starts to like hurt you, because some devices are like very heavy towards the top, and like it does start affecting you after a point.
They tend to tip over. Yes, they tend to tip over. Now, there's not, it all depends on how you're holding your smartphone. If you're going to hold towards the bottom of the device, of course, it feels a little top heavy because you have the camera module as well that is jutting out. So it does show the potential to tip over if you're holding it from the lower part of the device. But if you're going to hold it pretty much where your hand naturally rests on the fingerprint scanner, you're good. You know, I don't see the smartphone falling from your hand at that point.
True that. Okay, so cool. I think we've covered most important points about the Redmi Note 9 Pro Max. The only question to be answered is probably, would people go for this one or the Realme 6 Pro or the Poco X2? There are like way too many competitors at this price point, and each has some unique advantages, like you mentioned earlier. Like, you get some higher refresh rate displays on the other two phones, if I'm not mistaken, the 90 hertz refresh rate. On this phone, there are some other advantages of its own.
Yes. So that way, it remains to be seen. I think when we get our hands on both devices at once, wherein we can do a proper comparo. The lockdown has caused that issue wherein we cannot compare the two smartphones. So we'll have to compare them head to head to figure out which one is the most valuable smartphone under 20,000 rupees, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, some things we'll just have to wait. These are extraordinary circumstances where, like, things that we hadn't even imagined, which is imagine like not being able to do a comparison because we don't have both the phones with us at the same time. Like, who would have thought this like 3 months ago? So things like that are happening right now. So we'll just have to make do with what we have. And I think with that, we'll wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, take care of yourself. It's a long lockdown for all of us. We're all in this together. So you know, keep listening to this podcast. We'll be here to entertain you every Friday. And a couple other things here to mention are that we are available for suggestions, questions, comments, feedback on podcast@gadgets360.com. And you can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. Finally, if you listen to this podcast on any podcast app of your choice, such as Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever other app you use, you can rate the show, review it, and subscribe to it so that, you know, we get ranked better and the show reaches more people. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week.